to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Not only Deuteronomy chapter number 11, also Joshua chapter number 3. We're going to be going back and forth between those two passages of Scripture, Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and Joshua chapter number 3. As we look at the last Sunday of the new year, we're going to come in tonight, this morning, excuse me, and look at some reminders for the new year to start off the new year right. So reminders for the new year is the title of this morning's message, Deuteronomy chapter number 11. In the story this morning, you're going to see that the year is 1451. The nation of Israel was right outside of the Jordan River, and the nation of Israel was getting ready to go into the Promised Land. Remember, this is the second time they've been there. This is also the opportunity that they have with Joshua being their leader, getting ready to go into right before the Battle of Jericho. And this year, there is many different things that will change, many huge things that happen. In Deuteronomy chapter number 11, you have Moses saying his farewell message. Moses is there and he's giving encouragement as the leader that's led them all the way through the wilderness, led them up to this point in time before, and spent the last 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. If we remember in the story, they're wandering in the wilderness because the last time when they came up to Canaan, they were too scared. They were not willing to have faith in God and go into the Promised Land that God had given them a promise to do. And then we see here that now they're standing outside on the other side of Jordan, getting ready to cross. Their leader Moses is there. He gives them some instruction. And that's what we see in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. After Moses has passed away, you see Joshua 3. You see Joshua giving them some instruction. But here's the deal, is that in 1451, the upcoming year is going to be a huge year for them. Lots of changes. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River. They don't even know how they're going to cross it yet. They're going to face the great walls of Jericho. They're going to face the sin of Ai. They're going to face a ton of different things. They're going to face different things that they had never faced before. There was wickedness all around the land. There was danger all in this land. There was walled cities. There was giants. They were going to face all these different things. And both Moses and Joshua gives them some warnings or some encouragements or some things to remember about this upcoming year. And I think that we can take and we can learn from these warnings and these encouragement and these reminders to help us know how what we're going to face next year. We're facing uncertain days in a day and time that we live in. We don't know what's around the corner. You say, Pastor, you say that every year. Well, every year is true. We don't know. Is Jesus Christ going to come back next year? If Jesus Christ was going to come back for his church, would you be going with him? Are you saved and on your way to heaven? I mean, do we know what's going to happen next year? We don't. With what's going on in the economy, what's going on with our political leadership, and what's going on with just the wickedness all around the world, no one knows what 2014 is going to be like. But we do know how we're supposed to act as Christians in 2014. And that's what Moses is reminding them, and that's what Joshua is reminding them about. And I think there's some important characteristics that we can pull from these verses that we can apply to our own life and that we can remind ourselves when it comes to 2014. Let's look here in Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Let's start off with verse number 10. This is Moses giving the instruction to the nation of Israel as he is getting ready to die and pass off. And here in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, let's start in verse number 10. He says, he begins to describe to them the land. It says, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt. For whence ye came out, whence where thou sowest thy seed and waters it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord, thy God, are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, and that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thy oil. Let's go over now to Joshua chapter number 3. Once again, it's a different time period. It's probably months later, same year. Joshua chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Joshua is getting ready to get them ready to cross over Jordan. Joshua 3, verses 3 through 5, the Bible says, "And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, and about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are in desperate need of your help today. Lord, I have nothing to offer these people, but Lord, we know you have so much to give them. Lord, I pray that today that you give me the words to say. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and just help us today. Encourage us, motivate us how to live in this year 2014. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's go back to Deuteronomy now in chapter number 11. I want you to see this. I want you to understand this, that God is, through Moses, telling the people, hey, look, the land you're getting ready to enter into, it's different. In Egypt, they had to build irrigation. They had to go from the Nile River, and they had to water their plains. They had to water their seed. Once again, they did it for the Egyptians for the most part because they were the slaves. But it was completely different. The land they were getting ready to enter in, it was hills and it was valleys. No longer were they going to be able to get water from anywhere except from God. And what Moses was telling him here, he says that this is something you need to understand as you enter into this new land, as you enter into this new year. And once again, this new year is a big year for them. They're going to face Jericho. They're going to face Ai. They're going to face the Gibeonites. They're going to lose Moses as a leader. And they're going to get this new leader, Joshua. They're going to have to cross over Jordan. There are so many dangers, so many sins, so many idols, so many different things that they're going to have to face that Moses is trying to give them some reminders. And Moses says to them here, first thing you need to know, the land is different. And he was trying to tell them, the first thing you need to know is remember that you need God. Remember that you need God. If you look at this passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, it says in verse number 12, "And a land which the Lord thy God careth for the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season." So what the Bible is saying here, what Moses is trying to tell them, hey, look, you need to realize something, that you need God. It's not like Egypt, where you could by your foot and by your hand, you could dig yourself an irrigation line and get water to your plants. You're not going to have that here anymore. This is something that you're going to have to remember and you're going to have to know is you need God to succeed. I tell you, isn't that a great message for today? Isn't that a message for 2014? Us as believers, as Christians, we need God if we're going to succeed in our Christian walk. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot do it by ourselves. Trusting our own way defies the very aspect of God's creation. Adam needed God. Adam was told by God what to do, how to do it, what he was supposed to live. God created us and he designed us to be dependent. We are dependent by design. We are not self-sufficient. We have never been able to take care of ourselves and the idea of doing anything spiritually or even physically. He told Adam what to eat, what not to eat. He told Adam how to live independently. If you're going to live independently, what was going to happen to Adam? If he was going to do things his own way, he didn't listen to God, what was going to happen? He was going to be doomed. Man cannot joyfully and peacefully live independently from God. You cannot run your life and be successful as a Christian. If you say, Pastor Pease, I want to be a bird, and you take your wing, you take your arms and start flapping them, that's not going to happen, right? It's not going to happen if you're going to live your life as a Christian independently of God. Any change that will ultimately help a man must move him away from depending on self and move him to the dependence upon his Creator. Any change that gives an illusion that you can work and do things on your own is the wrong change. We must learn that we need God. Psalms 103 says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." And here's the thought is, it is God who has made us. You know, everything we make today does not run independently. You say you can make a car. I know some have worked at the Ford dealership and some make cars, but we know that it needs maintenance. It needs care. You go out there and you run a car and you just run it and run it and run it. Sooner or later, it's going to run out of gas or it's going to run out of oil. There is maintenance that needs to be done. You have to take care of it. Anything that you create, highways, you have to maintain them. It is dependent upon the Creator, just as we are dependent upon our Creator. And that's what Moses is teaching him here. Moses is saying to the people, hey, look, you're entering into a new land. This land is completely different than what you're used to. And in this land, you're going to have to depend on God. I tell you that in 2014, one of the greatest lessons we can learn and something that we can get and understand is going to change the way we live 2014 is that we have to depend on God. Too often we depend on ourselves. Too often we want to do things our own way. We have our own nature. We have our own desires. But the Bible says, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We must learn that if we're going to be successful in 2014, we're going to have to depend on God. Second thing I want you to see, not only is it we must remember that we need God. The second thing is we need to remember that God is watching us. We need to remember that God is watching us. You go back to this verse here, and it says in verse number 12, "The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year." You know what that tells me in the Bible? What I think is really cool is if we could learn to remember that God is watching everything we do, it will change our lives. If we would live consciously in the presence of God, if we would say, God sees everything I say, God sees everything I do, God knows everything I think, it would change the way we live. You think about it, even us that don't speed that much, at least some of us that don't speed that much, when you see a cop, what do? When you're driving, you slow down. Why is that? Because the police officer is watching you, right? Something changes because you know somebody's watching you. Guess what? God is always watching us. If you look at this passage of Scripture, what it says, I like this, it says, it's from the first day into the last day, from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. And I tell you, that is encouraging, but also that is scary too. Let's be honest with you. It's encouraging because you think about it. God saw the Israelites. They're over here. They're in the wilderness. They're sitting out here in the wilderness. They've been there for 40 years. They faced challenges. Everyone that was over the age of 20, they have passed away except for Joshua and Caleb. They're sitting in the wilderness. There's nobody chasing behind them. Back in when God parted the Red Sea, the Egyptians were coming out behind them. The Israelites could have stayed there if they wanted to, but they've been told by God to go into the promised land. So they're sitting there. They're facing challenges, but now they have a whole new set of challenges. They're going to get ready to cross this Jordan River, which they don't know how they're going to cross. And as they cross this Jordan River, they're going to face cities that have great walls. They're going to face cities that where people worship false gods and false idols. And they're going to face challenges that they have never experienced before. And Moses is sitting here saying, first thing you need to understand, this is a completely different land than where you came from before. And secondly, remember, God is watching everything you do this year. From January 1st all the way to December 31st, God sees everything you do. And that's encouraging because God saw them when they were in the wilderness. God is going to see them when they're in Canaan. God is going to see them when they're in the high points and when they're in the low points. And when they realize they need God, when they realize that they need God, then they're going to remember God is watching them. And they're going to turn to God. They're going to pray to God. But see, the problem is, in our lives, oftentimes we do not remember that God is the one, God's watching us. We live our lives whatever way we want without even giving consideration to the fact that God is seeing everything you do. Now, that's good in the idea that, you know, God's seeing you through the hard times. God sees your physical need. God sees your financial need. God sees your emotional need. But also God sees you when you have sin in your heart, sin in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." He's watching when no one else is watching. And, you know, that's a good thing in the idea that God sees everything you do for him. Sometimes the greatest servants, I believe, are those that go unnoticed. sometimes those missionaries that are off in a foreign land that no one thinks about or no one prays for, and they're just there working faithfully, serving God faithfully, I think they're going to get some of the greatest rewards when they come to heaven. But I also think of those around maybe even our church here that are faithful and serving, maybe that maybe only I know because I see them when they come and clean, or I see them when they're here diligently working and serving. Nobody else even sees or knows about it. You know who's watching them? God is watching them. So nothing you ever do is going to go unnoticed, whether it be for good and the idea you're serving the Lord. They might not know when you do something special and you make it anonymous. They might not know how many people's door you've knocked on, how many people you've invited to church, how many tracts you've passed out. They might not know, but you know who does know? God knows. From the beginning of the year all the way to the end. But not only can that be a blessing, but that can also be a scary thing too. Now, there's times when we think we're alone and we're looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. You know who sees? God sees. You know, when we're doing things that we should not be doing, saying things that we should not be saying, you know who sees? God sees it. And it still amazes me that sometimes when I go to visit people's houses, you know, if someone's smoking a cigarette and they hear that I'm a pastor or I'm from church, you know what they do? They put the cigarette behind or they throw their cigarette over there. And you know what I want to tell them? I says, look, you need to be more worried about what God sees you do than what I see you do. You need to be more worried that God is seeing what you're doing. And if you think it's wrong, you need to stop doing it. Not because a man sees you, but because God sees you. You need to care more about what God thinks than what any man thinks. I remember knocking on doors, and I went to sometimes when we're in a neighborhood and we'll knock on doors, I went over to a lady's house who had been visiting the church a little bit, and I knocked on the door, and her and her husband lived there, and I went knocked on the door, and she opened up the door, and then when she saw it was me, she closed the door really quick and kind of peeked her head around. It's because she wasn't dressed very nice, and she didn't care that anybody else saw, but the fact that, and don't worry, the person's not here, so don't try to figure it out. She saw it was a pastor, and she was ashamed of the fact that she was dressed that way in front of the pastor, and she didn't care if anybody else had come to the door. But she was ashamed, and she apologized. And I encourage her, says, look, you don't dress for me. You dress for the Lord. And that's how we need to live our lives, knowing that God, he sees everything we do. He sees every reason and every purpose. The eyes of the Lord from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So if we really want to look for some reminders for 2014, and I know this is a topical message, it's a little bit different than other messages, but it's something that I think is good for us. We need to first realize that 2014, things are going to be different. They might be new, and we need to learn to depend on the Lord. And the second thing is, you remember God is watching you. That should encourage you in your service, but that should discourage you when it comes to the sin that you may be involved in. Let's go back to Joshua chapter number 3 now. Third thing I'd like for you to remember is we need to remember to stay close to God. We need to remember to stay close to God. In Joshua chapter number 3, verse number 3, the Bible says, And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Now, what did the ark represent? That represented the presence of God. That represented where God chose to dwell. And what Joshua is saying, okay, get ready. We're getting ready to head over Jordan. We're getting ready to go into the promised land, the thing that your fathers refused and your grandfathers refused. And they were killed in the wilderness because of their refusal. We're getting ready to go into that land. He says, and when you see the ark, get up and go after it. And it's the idea is you need to stay close to God. That's what Joshua is saying. Leave your place and go after it. Not only were they to watch God, they were to move when he was told to move. When God moved, that's when he was supposed to go. They were supposed to pursue after God. They were supposed to stay close to God. And the one thing that we can learn for 2014 is that we need to stay close to God. We need to be as close to him as we can be. And you say, Pastor, how do you get close to God? Well, you see what it says in verse number 4. He says, yet there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it. And it's in reference into honoring God. And that's important to do also, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So if you want to stay close to God, the first thing you need to do is make sure you're clean. Sanctify yourselves. What does that mean? That's referring to being as clean and as holy as you possibly can. They were put away anything that was displeasing the Lord. They were supposed to examine themselves, and they were supposed to look at themselves. Is there something that displeases God? And if there was, they were supposed to get rid of it. They need to stay close to God. 2014, the Bible says, in verse number 3, it says, actually, at the end of verse number 4, it says, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." What Joshua was saying, look, you're getting ready to go into a land that you've never been to before. Everything that you're going to face next year is going to be brand new. You've never seen any of it. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that had even come close to seeing and facing what they had. He said, this is all new for you. You need to make sure that you stay close to God. You need to make sure he's in your sight. You need to make sure you're following him. If he goes to the right, you need to go to the right. If he goes to the left, you need to go to the left. If he walks around Jericho 7 times, guess what you need to do? You need to be walking around Jericho 7 times. If he heads a certain direction, that's where you need to go, because you need to stay close to God. You say, Pastor, how do I stay close to God in 2014? You sanctify yourself. You be clean. You be holy. You know why? It's because sin is what separates us from God. It is our sin that separates us from God and breaks our fellowship from God. As a Christian, as a believer, you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that relationship makes you a child of God, and nothing can ever break that relationship. But when you allow sin to happen in your life, what happens then is you break your fellowship with God. And as you break your fellowship with God, no longer do you have the same type of fellowship. And that's what he's saying, Joshua is saying to the people. He says, look, sanctify yourselves. Make sure you're clean. Get rid of anything that could be hurtful or displeasing to God, and live for him. Sanctify yourselves. Let me encourage you. Take a good long look at yourselves. Clean yourself up. Is there something in your life that you know displeases God? In 2014, you don't know what's ahead. You need to be as close to God as you can humanly possibly be. You need to be as holy as you can be, clean as you can be. Also, not only is this, let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy again, chapter number 11. Not only is it about being as close to God as you can be by being clean, but also we're given the encouragement in verses 13 and 14 to love God with all our heart. It says in verse 13, it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you want to be close to God, you need to be clean, but you also need to love God. You know what? You're as close to God today as you want to be. You are as close to God today as you want to be. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know everything that's going on. God does. The Bible says, if you'll draw nigh unto God, he said he'll draw nigh unto you. You are as close to God as you want to be. In 2014, we begin 2014, listen to the encouraging words of Moses and the encouraging words of Joshua's, stay close to God. When you see God, get up and move, get moving. The ark, the presence of God, when it goes, he says, go after it. That means that we need to pursue God in 2014. Fourth thing I'd like for you to look at, and go back to Joshua now. Fourth thing I'd like you to look at. It's not only do we need God, not only do we need to remember God is watching us and remember to stay close to God, we need to remember to take time to teach the next generation. We need to remember to take time to teach the next generation. So as the story goes along, the Ark of the Covenant goes and they stand in the water parts of the Jordan River. And while the water is parted in Joshua chapter number 4, in verse number 5, earlier in the chapter, God tells Joshua to go get some stones. And in verse number 5, Joshua is following through with that. And says, Joshua said unto him, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. So what the Bible is saying here is that as a memorial for the success and because of the blessing and the miraculous power of God, they were supposed to take 12 stones and make a stack out of it. And those stones were supposed to be a memorial to remember and to remind the nation of Israel that God was able to part the Jordan River. And I think the main reason why he did, you see in verse number 6, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their father in a time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? It's saying that in a day and time when God has worked, you've stayed close to God, you've been clean, you've seen God, you've seen God move, you've seen the presence of God work, that the children come back and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, what do those stones mean? You can say, that's the day that God came and helped us. That was the day we began this journey into the promised land. That was the day that God intervened on our behalf and parted the Jordan River. What a great day that was. What a miraculous day that was. And in 2014, if we'll learn to stay close to God, and we'll learn that we need God, and we'll learn that God is always watching us, we'll be able to help the future generations. We'll be able to show them the testimonies and brag on God, not bragging on ourselves, but set up Ebenezers and set up spots in our lives saying, hey, God helped me here. And it'll be a representation. You say, hey, what about that? Or what's going on in your life? When these children ask that, you'll be able to say, this is what God has done in my life. When a young person and child comes up to you and says, what has God done for you in 2013? How would you answer? If a child or a teenager or someone from a younger generation comes up to you and says, hey, you say you believe in God, that's right. And you say, yes, I do. You say that God helps you. Yes, I do. What has he done for you in 2013? Now, some of us would be humble to say, you know what, I wasn't as close to God as I should have been. I never really got the prayers answered that I could have if I would have been closer to God, if I would have stayed closer to him and realized I needed him. Some of us do not have a memorial or have a testimony of what God's been doing and God's been working because of the fact that we didn't remember that God was watching us all the time. We lived our lives according, instead of being dependent by design, we've watched our lives doing what we wanted. What did God do for you in 2013? Let me encourage you to tell a young person, help build their faith too. Fifth thing, this is the last thing. Things we need to remember in 2014. First, that we need God. We need to remember that he's always watching us. We need to remember to stay close to him. We need to remember to help tell the next generation. But last but not least, we need to remember God's faithfulness. Take your Bible and go to Joshua 23. We're going to forward ahead probably somewhere close to 30 years. And Joshua in his life now is nearing the end of his life. Is getting ready to die. And in Joshua chapter 23, you'll see here in verses 14 and 15, the testimony that Joshua gives about God. He told him at the beginning, before this journey ever began, he says, you need to stay close to God. He told him that, hey, you need God in this. And in Joshua chapter 23, verses 14 and 15, Joshua reminds the people at the end of Joshua's life that God had always been faithful. Now, Joshua's seen a lot. He's seen the Egyptians. He's seen the plagues. He's seen the parting of the Red Sea. He's seen the struggles in the wilderness. He's seen the people rejecting going into Canaan. He's seen the 40-year death march around the wilderness. He's seen the parting of Jordan. He's seen Jericho. He's seen the sin in Ai. He's seen so much. But here in Joshua chapter 23, let's look here in verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. He's saying, look, I'm getting ready to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. What Joshua is saying, God has owned up to his promises. There has not been one thing that God has failed in. God has been faithful from the beginning to the end. This is a man who saw the plagues, the parting of the seas. He's seen what happened in the wilderness. He's seen what happened in Jordan. He's seen what happened in Jericho. He's seen what happened in Ai. He has seen so much over these years. If anybody had experienced so much in all those years, either him or Moses would have the greatest stories to tell. And he says, through it all, God has been faithful. You know what? That is something we need to remember in 2014. When we're not sure, we've never passed this way before, when we're not really sure what the next days are going to hold, we don't know what tomorrow is going to be like, We don't know what our country is going to be like. We don't know what, when we're going to face challenges in our country that we've never faced before, face challenges with our families we've never faced before, face challenges that in our churches that we've never faced before, and our work scenes that we've never faced before. We need to have this as a remembrance, that God's been faithful through it all. Think what it says in 1 Kings 8:56. It says, "Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people according to all that he hath promised. He hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant." That was Solomon that was talking when they built the temple. And they said, "Blessed be the Lord." And he says, "According to all that he hath promised, there hath he not failed one word of all his good promise." What he's saying is, there has not been one time when God has failed you. God has been faithful. You say, "Pastor, but I didn't get my prayer answered." It's not because God wasn't faithful. Not because of the fact that God wasn't listening. God chooses to allow different things to happen in our lives to teach us and to show us and to give us instruction. And one of the great things we can remember in 2014 is, God is faithful. I don't know about you, but the nation of Israel here in 1451, they had a huge year ahead of them. They had a lot of choices to make. And Moses and Joshua stand up on the scenes and say, "Look, you need to realize you need God. Don't try to do this on your own. You have been created and designed to be dependent upon the Savior. Not only do you need God, but you need to remember God is always watching you. When you're in Ai, he's there. When you're in Jericho, he's there. When you're going through the Jordan River, there's not a moment or a time that God does not see what you're doing. Also, you need to remember to stay close to him. You see him move, that's where you need to go. You need to take time to teach your next generations of the blessing that God has provided. And at the end of your life, you'll be able to say with Joshua that God answered all your promises. There was not one good thing that God withheld from you. So the choice is yours. Take your Bible and look in Joshua 24. Just over a page, probably, Joshua 24. The Bible says, Joshua 24, verse 14, "The choice is yours for 2014. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Verse 15, "And it may seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Now, in this passage of scripture, Joshua at the end of his life just said, "Look, God's been faithful to you all this time. He's given to you every answer to every prayer he's been faithful to every promise." And he says, "Now it's your choice. Who are you going to serve?" And he says in verse 14, how to serve. He says, "Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth." Verse 15, "If it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord," he says, "choose you this day whom you will serve." So don't be wishy-washy about it. Either you're going to serve God, or you're not going to serve God. Don't do it halfway. And Joshua said for him and his house, he was going to serve the Lord. That's a decision I think we can make today. That in 2014, and I know for the rest of 2013, but for 2014, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's a choice I'm going to make. You know what? I'm going to listen to Moses and Joshua's instruction. I'm going to listen to when Moses and Joshua said, "Hey, look, you need to remember some things." These are older men that have seen God work in miraculous ways. If we were going to stop and listen to anybody talk, some of the people I would want to listen to more than anybody else, except for Jesus Christ, obviously, is Moses and Joshua, as they're telling them what the next year is going to be like. Remember that you need God. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Make decisions that show your dependence upon God. Seek him, search for him, pray for him, seek his will in every area of your life. Also, remember that God sees everything you do. Whether you're here in Elizabeth City, or like Mr. Larry that drives all the way out to California, or you go all the way down to Florida where Jason goes to school at, or you go all the way up north, no matter where you're at, any part of the world, God's eyes see you. Also, remember, stay close to God. If God sees you moving, if God moves, you need to go with him. Whatever pathway he leads you and directs your paths, that's the way to go. If God wants you to encourage the next generation next year too, we're losing that next generation. This next generation is falling by the wayside. They're not seeing Christians having victories, and they're leaving the Christian faith. We need to encourage that next generation with the promises that God has answered in our own lives, the answer to prayers, how God's worked and moved in your heart, and how God's teaching and telling you things from his word. They need to hear that. They need to know that your faith is real. Parents and grandparents in 2014, they need to see you living your faith and God blessing you. And that's not going to happen until you realize you need him, until you realize that you need to stay close to him. And last but not least, more than anything else, remember that God is faithful. He's faithful. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you say, Pastor, what do you mean saved? It means that you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to save you. God is faithful. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you cry out to God and see yourself as a sinner, and because of your sin, you're separated from God, and realize that without God, you cannot get to heaven on your own. The Bible says if you cry out to him and repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior, he will save you. He's faithful. He's going to save you. He's not going to cast anyone away. He wants to save. And I know that the message this morning has been mostly directly aimed to the children of God, just as the nation of Israel's message was aimed there. But if you're not sure if you die today that you would go to heaven, in just a few minutes we're going to have an invitation time. And at invitation time, the music will play, and we encourage you to come forward. And we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you why Jesus Christ came to this world, why he died and he was buried and he rose again to be our payment for our sin, and how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. I pray that if you have not made that decision, you make that this morning. If you're here this morning and you're saved, 2014 is going to be the year that you make it. 2014 is going to be, can be the greatest year in your spiritual life if you choose to stay close to God, if you choose to see that you need him, if you choose to live consciously in the presence of God, and remember that he's faithful. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time invitation.